Well, good morning and welcome. We are again looking at some ideas on the kingdom of God. We've been studying this for a little while. Seeking the kingdom. Did Jesus say that was important? Said it was vital. Seek the kingdom of God. In fact, he said if you seek the kingdom, you don't have to worry. You don't have to live a life of worry. First slide up here, we got Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom. That's in a section we studied earlier. No one can see the kingdom unless he's born again. That was a section of scripture where he talked about the new birth. And he said, if you have the new birth, you can see the kingdom. But if you don't, you just, so many people are, even in the church, are just oblivious to the spiritual life. Once you're born again, you can see the kingdom. But if you're not really been born again, you can't tell what's going on. You can't lock into what this kingdom is. The next slide, he did say, seek first. The other one was John chapter 3. This one is Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew 6 is that section where he talked about not worrying, not letting worry run your life in Matthew chapter 6. When he came to the end of that section of teaching about how to have a happier life and not worry about things, he said that, he made that comment, seek first his kingdom. And what else? And righteousness. That doesn't mean you gotta, like some people think righteousness means you never have any fun and you can't smile and you can't laugh and you can't. No, righteousness means you're right with God. You're seeking God's kingdom and you're looking for it. You're wanting it. You have a desire. Do you have a burning desire? Do you today, right now, have a burning desire to find the kingdom of God and seek it and to work in the kingdom and do kingdom work the rest of your life? That's what he's talking about. Does it mean everything to you? Does it mean everything to you? I saw a lady the other day on some show that there's a big dog show in, I think it was in New York, and this dog lives with her. She said, that's probably her closest friend in this world. And she pours everything into this dog that does, it's different kinds of activities they do with dogs. And one is they have a long, long swimming pool, like a lap pool that goes way out, and the dogs are trying to jump. And they're trying to do a long jump as far as they can jump into that pool. And they had a toy or something they're supposed to jump. They run and jump for it. And the thing is adjustable. They can put it further out and further out. And I thought that woman's whole life is wrapped up in that dog. And if you sit down and talk to her, what's she going to talk about? Her dog and how many awards that dog has won, and the house is full of trophies. And but if you seek the kingdom of God first, how does that pay? Does that pay off in eternity? The kingdom of God is not going to die when this world is over. The Bible says the world and all the works there will be burned up one day, and guess what? The kingdom of God will still be rolling, and it will be in supernatural terms, and there'll be a new heavens and a new earth, and we'll be in the kingdom of God. When the kingdom, we've had one lesson where a kingdom always has a king, right? A kingdom has a leader. A kingdom has a king, and we owe him our allegiance, and we do what he tells us to do. The Spirit of God, think about this. The Spirit of God wants to talk to you today. So you're going to have to listen. You're going to have to open your spiritual ears and reach for it. Isn't it amazing? We'll look at that in a minute. But all the parables of Jesus. I was taught when I was in preaching school that Jesus told parables. It comes from a Greek word, parabole, which means to lay some two things beside each other. And it's like he told parables to help people understand. But it's not what he said. He said, I tell parables to hide what I'm really telling. And I see that every time I speak in front of an audience of any kind, some people, the veil is down. Boom. They're not listening. They're not growing. They're not getting it. And then I see others that they're open. They're open to it. He said, I tell parables because those who are seeking it will find it, and those who don't really care, they won't have any idea what I'm talking about. Have you ever sat through a sermon and you got through and you thought, I didn't have any idea what he was talking about. I didn't understand what he was talking about. We have a man here at got saved in prison. And he had no knowledge of God, no Bible, no nothing. And he was in a pretty bad situation in jail. And he told me himself, he was baptized right here. And he told me, he said, I went in and I was in jail. And he said, I had this cellmate that asked me to go. They have a devotional. He said, want to go to the devotional? We do. And he said, what's that? Well, we go, and it's a good way to get out of the cell and go do what, you know, do something. And so he went. And he said there was a guy up there teaching the Bible, and he was teaching this devotional out of the Bible. He said, I didn't understand a word of what he said. It was like he was talking a foreign language. So by the next time a devotional rolled around, the guy said, you want to go with me again? Well, they'll let us go. We'll go over here to the Devo. Okay, went to the devotional. Said, I still didn't understand any of it. Went back to the cell, did their whatever they do. And next time devotional rolled around, he said, can I go again? And the guy said, well, sure, come on, we'll go. Went to the Devo. He said, when that guy spoke that day, it was like a laser beam. Like he was, like I was the only one in the room. And he was talking right to me. What's the difference? Well, God had to prepare the guy a little bit. But when it got him, it got him. He got out. One of our members called me up and said, talk to me about him. I had kind of known who he was and said, he's ready to be baptized. He got saved in prison. And he came out and talked to me. The lady said, talk to me. And she told me, she said, I asked him, I said, Do you know about baptism? He said, yes, ma'am, I'm ready to be baptized. Isn't it amazing how the kingdom works? That, and Jesus said that, the parables, if you're sitting there and you don't want it, or you don't understand it, or you don't have any spiritual desire, whoop, right over your head, it's like, I ain't getting anything out of that sermon. But if you're looking for something, and you say, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to hear from you. You'll get it. A few weeks back, I had an article in the bulletin about, I hope you read the bulletin, article in the bulletin about a guy who had a cousin that was Cherokee Indian, and a Cherokee Native American came to visit his cousin in New York. Said, we were walking down the street, and this Native American cousin of his, he said, we're walking down the street in New York, one of the busiest places in New York. Traffic, taxi cabs, horns blowing, people yelling at each other, you know, and he said, walking down the street. And he said, my cousin, who was a Cherokee, stopped me. And he said, I hear a cricket. And he said, huh? He said, I hear a cricket. A cricket? I've never heard a cricket in New York City. How can you hear a cricket out here in this mess? All this noise? He said, no, I hear a cricket. So he walked over to this huge planter box, planter that was had a small tree in it from in front of a hotel. Then he walked right over there, pulled a cricket out of that planter. Pretty good illustration. Some people can listen to a sermon or listen to a class and get nothing out of it. And some people, kids can be crying, people talking, people dropping stuff, nice smelling lunch. And they're like a laser beam. I'm going to get something out of this. They can hear a cricket when nobody else can. What did Jesus say? Seek the kingdom of God if you get around to it. Seek the kingdom of God if it sounds like a good idea to you. Seek the kingdom of God if you know, if it's okay with you. Would you like to seek the kingdom of God? We'll make it easy for you. If you'd like to seek the kingdom of God, you just come in and we'll feed you and we'll treat you well, and we won't say anything ugly to you, and we won't preach any hellfire sermons. And if you want to seek the kingdom of God, that's all right. What did Jesus say? Can you imagine Jesus walking into this room right now, and I sit down and he stands up here and takes over? Do you think you would listen? My goodness. That authority, that power, the Son of God, and he says, seek the kingdom first. And you won't have to worry about life's issues. Seek the kingdom first, kingdom of God, and his kingdom and his righteousness. And everything else will just kind of fall into place. I can testify that does happen. Would God lie to you? Was the Bible lie to you? No. It happens that way. Any of you who have been experienced at this for very long, it happens that way. Put this next line up here. We're going to look at this quickly. The kingdom's power. Kingdom of God is the most powerful thing on earth. Most powerful organization, organism. I heard read it anyway, a preacher one time. Good book on church. And he said, the church is not an organization or an institution. He said, it's an organism. Aren't we all parts of the body? You wouldn't call your own body an institution, would you? It's an organism, and it has organs. Kingdom of God on earth. It's people, and it's people of God, and it's the mission of God. Seek it first, he said. Let's look at the kingdom's power. Next slide. This is a famous quote, or a well-known quote, I guess, from Genesis. And it says this, it's Genesis chapter 6, or 8 rather. It's a comment, I believe it's after the flood of Noah, it's a comment about how the earth is going to operate. Notice what it says. As long as the earth endures seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Seed time and harvest, seeds and seed time fed you today. Seed produced your body. I don't want to get too graphic, but we all know that. Adults know that, right? Human seed produced your body. The whole world operates on seed and harvest. Seed, planting seed, letting seed grow. It grows invisibly, but you let seed grow, and there's a harvest. And let more seed grow, and there's a harvest. Wonder how many harvests it took for you to eat all the bread you've eaten in your life to this point. If it weren't for seeds and harvest, we wouldn't be here. The earth would have shut down a long time ago. Seed time and harvest. So, in the next slide, I put this up here, a nice picture of a mustard seed. Mustard seed. And the statement is, go ahead and put the statement up there. Seed powers the kingdom of God. Now this is something you say, well, what's that got to do with me? Oh, everything. Just hold on. You're going to find out what this all has to do with you. Seed powers the kingdom of God. I thought the Holy Spirit did. Well, yeah, he does. But without seed, the kingdom of God wouldn't be here. And we'll show you that as we go through this. Seed powers the kingdom of God. The top left of that picture, see that little black thing in the guy's fingers? That is a mustard seed. A mustard seed's about the size of a grain of sand, and that tree over there is a mustard tree. That's what came out of that seed. I showed you one not long ago of a redwood seed. You know how big redwoods are. Probably the trunk of a redwood. You couldn't fit it in this room, one of the big ones. And the seed of that redwood tree is about the size of a green pea, I think it is. If you've had green peas, you know that size. So, are seeds powerful? They are amazing. It's almost, the world would say magic. We would say it's the power of God. God built the power and the power he wanted into these seeds. So this is, understanding the kingdom means we know that seed powers the kingdom. So I'm going to give you some things about what Jesus taught about seed. The parable of the sower. Next slide, what Jesus taught about seed. Spoke about kingdom seed, the parable of the sower. Mark 4, verse 13, you don't have to turn there, but Mark 4, verse 13, it talks about the parable of the sower. Remember that parable, the man went out to sow and he scattered seed everywhere. And in Mark 4, 13, it says that is the master parable. Jesus said to his disciples, they wanted to know the meaning of that parable. He said, if you don't understand this parable, which one? Parable of the sower, you cannot understand any of the other parables. So I call it the master parable. If you get your hooks into the parable of the sower and you read it and you read it and you read it and you meditate on it, do that this week. It's in, three of the Gospels. You meditate on it. This seed, this parable of the sower is the master parable. Jesus said you had to understand it to even understand parables. What did I say about parables a while ago? They're not necessarily to help you understand. They're aimed at the kingdom seeker, but they're also aimed at the worldly person who doesn't get it. And a worldly person, all they heard was a story about farming. Parable of the sower, scattered seed everywhere. Everybody knows if you've ever grown anything, some produces and some doesn't. It's not the seed's fault, it's just where the ground you put it on. If you dump seeds in the middle of I-20, it's probably not going to grow much, is it? But you got to find good ground. And farmers know that, and people around here know that. We used to have the experiment station here, and they knew all of that, that, you know, the ground matters. Is that the parable of the sower? That the ground matters. It's the master parable. The next slide, look at Matthew 13 for a minute. I don't have time to go into all this completely, but Matthew 13, Jesus told the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower. Next line. Matthew 13, 1 to 23, parable of the sower. Put the next one up here. Parable of the weeds. Matthew 13, 24 to 30, and a little bit later. Next line, the mustard seed and yeast. Now that's all in Matthew 13, 1 through 51. What are all of those about? The sower, what's that about? Sowing seed. The weeds. Do you remember that? The man had a big farm, and his workers came to him and said, "Didn't you plant good seed? We've got weeds coming up. Tares, they're called. We got weeds coming up in the middle of your wheat. Didn't you get good seed?" "Oh, I got good seed." But he said, "An enemy did this." So he said, they said, "You want us to pull up all the weeds?" "No, don't pull up anything. Let's wait till the harvest, and we'll cut it all down, and we'll have the wheat, and we'll burn the weeds." And Jesus said, that's the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of God. That one is in, Matthew 13, 24 to 30. And then he explains it in Matthew 13. Look at Matthew 13, 36. 13:36. They wanted to know. Matthew 13:36, when he left the crowd and went into the house, his disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds." He said, "The one who sowed good seed is the Son of Man." That's the Messiah, right? Who sowed the good seed? Who sows good seed in this world? Jesus, the Messiah. Is he sowing seed today? If you read the rest of it, you find out he is, and you're part of it. You're part of it. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. That's us, folks. Jesus sowed a seed in your life, and now you're here. Now, you got a physical seed, but he also sowed the seed of the gospel in you, and here you are in the kingdom of God. It says, the field is the world, in the parable, the field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, the devil. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. So the evil folks came from the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, you better be listening, he said. Wow. What's that all about? Right now there's sowing and reaping going on. Well, the reaping's going to be at the end, but all kinds of sowing. People fuss all the time. I don't go to church. I'm a good Christian, but I don't go to church because I got mistreated at a church. I got mistreated. Some people today say, I got molested by a youth minister. Bad things happen in church. That's why I don't go to church. Full of hypocrites. You just read the reason why. Why is the reason? The devil is sowing his people all in this earth. And he sows his people in the church sometimes. That's why you have church splits. That the devil has worked his way into somebody's life. You say, that's not right because this Christian people, Jesus chose 12 apostles. And the devil worked on Judas and worked on Judas and worked on Judas with money. And with, remember, Judas was the one that stole from the treasury and went and bought a piece of ground with the money he got for betraying Jesus. At the Last Supper, says, Satan entered the heart of Judas and he went out and betrayed the Lord. Who singled Judas out from the other 12? The rest of the 12. The devil did. Like a predator. Oh, predators. A lion's not going to attack a frontal attack on a herd of stampeding water buffalo. You know, sometimes they'll see the predator and they'll spook and run. That lion's not going to run around the front of that herd, is he? What's he going to do? Wait. And the herd's going to take off and run. And sometimes the little ones are at the back trying to hold on to mama. And mama's trying to get their little ones out of this danger zone. And sometimes there's an old one or a weak one or a sick one toward the back. Who's the predator going after? Stragglers. Stragglers. I don't need church. I'm just as good as those people over there at that church. Oh, watch out. Watch out. You become a straggler. You become one who hangs back. You become one who doesn't get involved. You become one who just takes it all in stride. No big deal. It's just another Sunday. No big deal. Just another sermon. Stragglers get picked off, don't they? The devil is sowing his people all the time. Sadly, sometime in the church. Parable of the sower. Parable of the weeds. What's that about? Parable of the weeds. Seeds. Mustard seed. You've heard that one a lot, haven't you? Mustard seed. Yeast. These are all in Matthew chapter 13. What's that all about? What's the kingdom of God all about? According to Jesus. Sowing and reaping. Seed time, harvest. What's that got to do with you? Oh, just everything. We'll show you that in a minute. Obviously, I got to hurry because we have important things to do, don't we? The next slide, let me flip over to this one. We'll go through these, but if you really like to take notes, here's a good time to do it. Kingdom seeds. I'm going to show you four seeds real quickly. Four seeds, and that's not all the seeds there are in the kingdom, but think of it like this. Think of it as a gigantic ranch and a farm. I'm not talking about like what's King Ranch, like say a ranch or a farm, 10,000, 50,000 acres. They got cattle everywhere. They've got crops everywhere. They grow five or six kinds of crops. And they got a herd of all kinds of different cows. Is there a lot of seed that goes into that operation? And it's not all the same kind of seed. There might be wheat seed. There might be soybean seed. There might be rice seed. We had a farmer in our congregation when we were up in Arkansas preaching at that church. One farmer had two different, he had rice and soybeans. And sometimes he had winter wheat. That's three kinds of seeds. Does it take a lot of seeds to power the kingdom of God? Okay, well, what's the first one? You know this one, don't you? The Word. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. That is supernatural seed, right? You've been born again of supernatural seed. And what is that supernatural seed? The living and enduring Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Is the Word of God the seed that powers the kingdom. That's why studying, being in the Word on your own and when you're here, getting into the Word, getting seriously in the Word. Stop making excuses. I don't read well. Well, there are a lot of other ways to get it besides reading it. I just don't find it all that interesting. Oh, okay. Wonder why that happens. Wonder why that happens. You don't value it. You don't value it. It's not going to be very important. Is the Word of God power? Does that help power the kingdom of God? The next slide has the second one. Seed. And that one is faith. Luke 17, verse 6. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree. Usually we hear the mountain, don't we? But he said it, Jesus said this a lot. And he used different illustrations. This one is a tree. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, well, how small is a mustard seed? About like a grain of sand. What can happen? You can say to this mulberry tree, basically, get out of here. You know, it's in your way. Be uprooted, planted in the sea, and it will obey you. It will obey you. Luke 17, verse 6. Is faith a powerful, powerful seed in the kingdom of God? He said it was. In fact, Jesus talked a lot about this kind of seed of faith and speaking your faith. Not only the Word of God, but what we say matters. So this is the second one here is faith. Faith is a huge seed in the kingdom of God. And it just is amazing. You already got the Word. And that seed is out there. Now you've got faith. So faith comes from what? Hearing the Word. So sometimes a seed is also a crop. Sometimes you have, like I talked about earlier, an apple. There are a lot of seeds in that apple, but there are also a lot of trees in that apple. There might be 15 apples on a tree, but you take an apple and you say, I wonder how many orchards are in the seed. Because once you plant the seed, something else grows, doesn't it? Another tree grows eventually, and then it produces seeds, and it's just an ongoing thing. It's a powerful force in the world. So you got the Word, you got faith. The third one is finances. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Right? If you sow a little handful of seed, not going to get a very big crop. But you take a tractor out there with planters on it, you know, as wide as a field almost, and these big planter boxes are full of seed, and they go down through there, and they put that seed out. You plant thousands of acres, you're going to get a big crop, aren't you? Remember, whoever sows sparingly, or just a tiny bit, that's all you get. But if you sow generously, you reap generously, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. You say, where did you get finances? That whole chapter, or that section anyway, is about money. Paul is collecting money. He's getting them ready because he's coming. He's going to collect money for saints that are starving in Jerusalem. And so he's coming through and he said, I want you to start giving. He said, I've told all the churches in your area, all the congregations that Paul was associated with, same thing, coming through, headed to Jerusalem, taking a big collection. We're going to take care of these believers in Jerusalem that are being persecuted. They can't find work. They're starving. They've been brushed aside by the Jerusalem Jewish community. We're going to help them. And so remember this, if you give a lot, you're going to get a lot back. You give a little bit, you're going to get a little bit back. Some people don't like that. They say, that's not right. It's not right to give expecting something back. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. What does that mean? The blessing comes when you give. The blessing comes when you give. I guess you would say the side perk of the whole thing is you get. God wants us to learn seed time and harvest. The kingdom of God functions as empowered by seed time and harvest. Planting and receiving. Planting and reaping. In 2 Corinthians 9. Let's spend a minute on that one. 2 Corinthians 9. The whole thing's about money. It's about... People think you're not supposed to talk about money in church. Jesus did. A lot. Look up the places where Jesus talked about money and how we should manage our money and how we should not worry about how we're going to have what we need, a lot of things like that. But 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. Then he goes to verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion or pressure. We're not going to pressure you, he said, to give. For God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a what? He don't want you to give because you felt guilty. He don't want you to give because you pressured to do it. Cheerful, what is that? The Greek word is the same word for our word, English word, hilarious. Cheerful givers, oh, they have a good time giving. They just enjoy giving. And it's not just money. They give. They make cakes for people. They do this for people. They do that. They just love to give. They just love to give. And he says here, you should give what's decided in your heart to give, not under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. God's able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound into every good work. He's saying there that if you want abundance so you can do the work of God, it's not selfishness, it's the work of God. I want to see the work of God progress. Does it take money to get the gospel out? That's just the world we live in. Some people think Jesus was a poor itinerant preacher that just hoboed all over the country. He had a staff, and he had a treasury, and he had a treasurer, and he had some wealthy people helping him. He had to feed his group, didn't he? And he had to somehow get the money needed to make trips. And then when Paul got ready to make all those mission trips, he had to have fare on ships, and he had to rent animals, and he had to eat on the road, and he had somehow provision. And he's the one that wrote this, right? You're investing in the kingdom. This is not about trying to get money out of you. This is about learning how the kingdom operates. You will abound in every good work. As it is written, he who has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he, talking about God, who supplies seed. Who gives seed to the sower? I'm talking about a farmer out here that has a soybean farm. Who gave him that seed? Ultimately, God did, right? God created all this. And a seed has been going on for generation, generation, generation. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread, the result of seed, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest. If you give what you have, if you sow what you have, you'll get a harvest. And anybody knows that does this kind of farming or any kind of work like that, that when you have a harvest, you got to hang on to some of it for seed. You got to replant. You got to have a crop next year. So you got to make sure you have plenty of seed to do next year. He says here, he who supplies seed to the sower, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10, will increase your store of seed, your seed house. He will also enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What's their righteousness? They want to help people. They want to help persecuted believers. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What's he saying? If you're a generous giving person, not just generous giving person to the kingdom, kingdom work, God will take care of you. Judy and I could say, amen to that. God will take care of you financially if you make it your mission in life to further the kingdom of God, and sometimes that takes money. We were in preaching school back in the 1900 business. It was back in 1970s. And we didn't have a lot of money. I mean, we went to school. I didn't have a job. Not allowed to work and go to the school too, because it's full-time work. And so Judy worked, and I hadn't been in school very long till her father, who had died before we ever met, his estate got settled and all that, and we got $2,000. That's a lot of money in 1970 3, wasn't it? That helped us, along with some other people who supported us financially. They helped us go through the school. One church that my parents knew of up in Arkansas gave a little bit of money. Judy's mom helped us. And then we had this $2,000 that just came in. And a little bit off of, I think it was a gas well, a little bit of money a month that helped. And that's all disappeared now because, you know, the oil business is crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. It's bipolar. Just doesn't know what to do. So back and forth, you know. One day it's up, one day it's down. So we went through preaching school, and pretty soon, maybe while we were students, I believe it was, or not long after we graduated, we gave to the school because the school was free. People could come there and pay no tuition. We gave to the school because we believed in it, believed in the mission. So if you believe wholeheartedly, if the kingdom of God has saved you, brought you into salvation, and you got folks in your family that would have gone to hell except they heard the gospel and they obeyed it, and now they're enjoying heaven, you might be a little interested in this kingdom we're talking about, that it is a powerful force in the world that God expects us to be involved in. It's saving human souls, and he expects human beings to be involved in it. His own son, human being, son of God. Adam and Eve faltered and got us into this mess, and God used his own son, the last Adam, to come and get us out of it. Is the kingdom of God important? If it is, your finances are no big deal. You're not going to worry about, if I give this, will I ever have any meal? People say, I've been writing that articles in the bulletin. Probably most of you don't even read the bulletin, but it's got articles in it about tithing. What is tithing? Are we supposed to tithe today? It might help you a little bit on this issue. If the kingdom of God is important, and the kingdom of God needs money to operate, then what's the big deal? We have had, I think every air conditioner in this building has been worked on or replaced this summer. Thanks to Brother Roy Avant and Philip, they've worked hard on these air conditioners. Guess what? It takes money to run the air conditioner so you can be comfortable in here. And those air conditioners, those suckers are hungry, aren't they? I mean, they soak up the juice, don't they, when we're here. Get away from this thing of, well, it should all be about spiritual things, and money's not a spiritual thing, and all should be about just about spiritual things. Jesus didn't think that way, did he? The next one, the last one here is, well, the next last one anyway. What else is a seed? Your body is a seed. Did you know that? Your body. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 42, so will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. And he talks a lot. Read 1 Corinthians 15. Several verses in there. That was verse 42. That your body is planted, we all know that, don't we? And it decays, and it comes back. It may be planted for thousands of years, but it comes back. Did you read the bulletin article about the seeds that were found that were about 4,000 years old in an Egyptian tomb? And this happened back in the 1800s, and they planted those things, two little peas that were all dried up, hard as a rock. And somebody thought in the British Museum, maybe we should plant them and see what happens, and they grew. You may be laying in the grave 4,000 years. We don't know. Lord's coming back at some point, and you'll be, that body's going to get a harvest. You're going to get a body like Christ's body. The next one, that was your body. The next one is Jesus himself. He's a seed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. I'll just read it to you. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. That means his children, right? Scripture does not say, and to seeds, meaning many people, but and to your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. Who's the master seed of the whole kingdom of God? The Father sowed his Son, and we are the harvest. We're all the harvest. And the harvest has been rolling for 2,000 years. Wonder how many people are in the kingdom. We don't really have a good figure. Millions? Billions? He's the master seed. The next slide, the one we read at communion, John 12. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds." Jesus spoke that about himself. Did he consider himself a seed? But he did. He sure did. We better move on, but the next slide. Just a reminder, Galatians 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Can you see that one? A man. Is this limited only to men, or do women qualify? Women qualify. A man reaps what he sows. You sow soybeans, you're not going to get watermelons, right? If you sow rice, you're not going to get fruit trees. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from that flesh will reap destruction. That doesn't mean necessarily you just go to hell. It means your life is harder now. You're reaping something. Whoever sows to the Spirit to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Is that a principle that goes on and on and on and on all the time? It is a principle. So the last slide we're going to do this, ask the Lord of the harvest, is does there need to be a harvest of lost souls? Amen. Okay, so we're going to pray for the harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers. So Father, we pray right now as I hold this notebook full of names of people that don't know you, don't know Christ, that need to hear the gospel, that need to respond to it, that need to have their hearts open, or even some in here who have known you and just walked away or quit or gave up. We pray for them. We pray for them, Father. We ask you to send workers into the harvest field. There's such a big harvest out there. It's like thousands of acres to be harvested. Two people can't do that. It takes a crew. So we ask you to expand the crew that has any way to touch the people in this notebook. Expand the crew bigger and bigger, Father. We may be part of that. Well, send us wherever you need to send us. We want to see them come to you, Father, through Christ. Thank you for hearing us. Thank you for answering our prayers. We know that as we pray over this book every Sunday, that there are many that have already been touched. We don't know exactly the details of all of this. We will find out. We will know. Even if we don't, Father, we trust you. We trust that you're hearing, and we trust that you're answering us right now. So we continue, Father, to pray and ask that you touch these lives and that seed gets planted in their lives so that there can be a harvest in Christ's name. Amen.